speaker, please, Pablo Ferrari, working on Yaglong limit via Holly inequality.
Okay, thank you very much for the invitation. Thank you for coming here after lunch. I will talk about these two names, Yaglom and limit and Holle inequality. It will be a pretty simple problem, and I guess also the solution. This is a joint work with Leonardo Rolla, and I start directly with a very simple example. I will show things in this example, and then I'll tell you how to generalize. So you have a PQ discrete time random walk, so something that you are here is n, is time, and here is n union 0 is space. So you have your random walk and do things like that. And the probability to going up is p, the probability of going down is q, p plus q is 1 now, and p is smaller than q. So the walk has a tendency to go down, but there is also one thing that I will ask it to be absorbed. So when it arrives, if it arrives to 0, then it stays there. Okay, so it's killed at 0. So this is to put that it's killed at 0 is convenient overall for the notation, because in fact we are going to study the walk before killing. So in fact we are conditioning the walk to not be killed. So suppose that you have now a measure nu here in n for the initial thing here, could be anything, and then you define this operator that is the probability to be at y at time t, starting with nu, given that was not absorbed, just is just the probability nu qn y. That is just the probability for the random walks. That, for instance, if this is y here, if this is n, and this is y, this probability and this started and nu, for instance, concentrates in 1, this will be p, q, p, p, q, p, will be 1, 2, 3, 4, p to the 4, q to the 2. Okay, and then this will be the probability of this trajectory. Then you sum over all trajectories, but you don't sum over trajectories that come to zero. So you have to normalize by the probability to be at zero before time n. Okay, so this is just the evolution of a measure, the conditional evolution of a measure, and then I will call quasi-stationary distribution some measures that are a fixed point for this evolution. So that means that you start here with nu, condition up to time n not to be absorbed, and you find again nu here. Okay? Okay, this... of course, the absorption time, so tau nu is the random variable of the heating time of zero when you start with nu, and if nu is quasi-stationary, then the heating time has a geometric distribution, because if you know that you have not been absorbed, you are in the same distribution as before, so your rate of absorption is constant. So this will be a geometric distribution, and and let's call r of nu, that is q times nu 1, which is the probability to be absorbed at time n. So it's the absorption rate, or the absorption rate. So this is what I call r of nu. And in fact, Cavender proved the some decades ago that there is a continuum of quasi-stationary distribution. This started with the minimal one, that is that the one that has a maximal nu 1, and this is described there. the minimal one is a gamma, discrete gamma or negative binomial distribution. You can see a new mean of x is a constant 1 minus square root of lambda square, lambda is p over q, x times square root of lambda x minus 1. So it's a gamma or a negative binomial. And then there are a collection of measures that for new one bigger than smaller than new minimal, there is a computation, you can compute all the quasi invariant distributions. I just put them there, but I am not going to use this formula at all. No? So, but the point is that there is, in some sense, there is an order of the quasi-stationary distributions, but this order is not the usual order of measures, but is the order of the absorption time here. So, in some sense, okay. So this the continuous quasi-stationary distributions are ordered by this absorption time. This is the conclusion here. Okay. And now I define the Jagiellon limit. This is called Jagiellon because he was the first one to compute it for a subcritical branching process. So you take a subcritical branching process and condition not to be absorbed, and then you compute the probability starting from any measure nu. You compute the probability to the distribution at time n, condition not to be absorbed. And then if this limit exists and this is a probability, you call it a Jagiellon limit. Okay. Well, now I will introduce the usual notion of stochastic domination. So we say that we will take n and the usual order in n, and n has a minimal state that is 1. And then I say that the measure nu is dominated by nu prime if nu f is less or equal than nu prime f for any not decreasing f. Or in this case, also domination is just that the right probabilities are dominate. No, the probabilities of right semi-infinity intervals are dominate. But the notion that we are, so this is equivalent to a coupling notion, that is that nu is dominated by nu prime. If you can construct a coupling tilde nu with marginal nu and nu prime such that tilde nu concentrates below the diagonal, okay? So in the set x, x prime such that x less or equal than x prime, okay? So okay, now I consider the process starting with the minimal state, that is 1, and call delta 1 the measure concentrating mass in that state. And I am interested in the Jagiellon limit starting from delta 1. So here I have to pay a price for the simplicity of the model with the non-periodicity of the results, but I think that in some sense it pays to do that. So this is my price, is this half of a page here. So I will consider this measure nu given odd and given even is just the measure conditioned to be at even states or at odd states. So in this case, a quasi-stationary distribution will have this property that if you start from an odd state at even times, you will be an odd state. So nu given odd at time, then conditioned at time 2n not to be absorbed will be the same, and also at even times then you will go to the other part of the space. Okay, so the theorem that I want to prove here is the following, that you have a domination in the sense of usual domination of measures. if you start with delta 1, and then the delta 1 T2n is dominated by delta 1 T2n plus 2 for ln, all n. This is my first point. This is not totally obvious if you want to prove it, because you are conditioning. So you are when you are below, you are conditioning for something that is taking you up. So I will give you a proof, and maybe you can find a simpler proof than mine, but it was not noticed this. And if you want to compute explicitly, things get complicated because of these normalization factors. Okay. Okay, the second thing says that delta 1 up to the evolution of delta 1 up to time 2n is also dominated by the quasi-spatial distribution of the odd things, and at odd times will be dominated by any quasi-stationary distribution at even sites. So item 2 says that for any quasi-stationary distribution, then you have that the Jagellon limit before for each n, the Jagellon measure, say, is dominated by the quasi-stationary distribution. Okay, and then item 3 says that that in fact the Jagellon limits converge, so it's a selection principle converges to the minimal quasi-stationary distribution. Here you have these statements in odd and even things, and but here this mean is in fact the mean before the delta mean before, but here I mean that nu mean is less than nu for any quasi-stationary distribution nu in the usual sense of domination. Okay, in fact, item 3 is well known since 30 years or so, but if you go to the papers where it's proven, that are by Seneta and Pierre Jones, they have it's by explicit computation using this Carlin-MacGregor representation of random walks, and it's really a mess. It's almost impossible to understand. Okay, so this approach is a way to try to give a simple proof without computations, essentially. Okay, so I have to, in order to do that, I have to look, instead of looking only at time t and try to see at time n, and try to see what is going on, what is the distribution at time n, it's better just to consider the whole trajectory. I will work in the space of trajectories. And it's convenient to have a trajectory at any place of the time edge. But I will take only finite pieces of trajectory. So I will call n, nm are vectors indexed by n until m and integers. Okay, so xn, xn plus 1, etc. at xm is is something like that. Okay. So this will be a typical this will be a typical element of that space. Okay, and now. Now, given a measure nu here, given a measure nu that I will put here as initial distribution, I define a measure mu on this space of trajectory that depends on nu and on the transition matrix, that in my case Q is given that this PQ random walk. Okay? That is just the probability to, so given a trajectory, the probability of this trajectory. In this case, will be p to the 5, q to the 2, or whatever, divided by the probability not to be absorbed, that this is the mass of the trajectories that do not touch zero. And I have to give here nu of 1, okay? I put nu of 1, you can see there, nu of xn, so times the probability of the trajectory until xm and divided by the probability of not being absorbed. Okay, so this is the distribution of the chain of the Markov chain xnm, denoted like that, with initial distribution n. So the point that is obvious but relevant is that if you look at the marginal distribution of this measure at time n, you get the conditioned distribution of the chain starting with nu. So this is the last. So the last thing there is express the conditioned distribution I am looking for in terms of the marginal distribution of this measure in the set of trajectories. Okay, this is equation 5. Okay, now here it's also important to introduce order of trajectories, but here the order will be partial and is a coordinate-wise order. So I will say that a trajectory is O is dominated by another one if each coordinate is dominated. Okay, so and this order of trajectories induces an order of measure. And then in the same sense that as before, two measures are ordered if there is a coupling with marginals mu and mu prime such that mu tilde, that is the coupling, concentrates on the trajectory that one is dominated by the other. This is the usual thing. Okay, okay, now again I have some periodicity problem is that I start with delta 1. So, so since I will start here with one, so I have to consider trajectories that are odd at even times, and even at odd times plus n. Okay, so now here is a simpler version of Holey inequality. In fact, Holey inequality is a static inequality, but it's conceptually dynamic in some sense because its proof is dynamics, and in some sense we arrived to the inequality doing a dynamics over the over the trajectory. So the inequality says that in this case, for any probability measure starting at the same parity as 1 here, if you do the trajectories starting from anything here will dominate the trajectories starting from 1 stochastically. So okay, this is what that says. And here is this is a very old inequality. And the proof of it is just to introduce. This is the original proof of Holey. And of course, what I put here was just the particular case of my case, but Holey inequality is a general inequality on where you can put different q's there, for instance. Okay, you can put general measures instead of nu 1. You can put another measure, nu prime say and q prime, and the other q. But I will explain it here that it's easier to understand, but the generalization is very simple. So okay, so what in order to do that you introduce a Markov chain with a Markov chain on a space of trajectories. Okay, the Markov chain is done in such a way that the measure mu nu q is reversible for the dynamics. Okay, and then in order to do that, but I will construct it in a particular way here I will construct only one marginal. But I will do it in such a way that then I can construct the other marginal with the same alias somehow. So this star there means that it doesn't matter what I have. I can have. So suppose that you have a size k minus 1, k, and k plus 1, you have a situation like that. So you come with this is size k minus 1, this is k plus 1. Okay. You have the trajectories until here, and then with rate 1, you put x plus 1 here. Is this is x, okay? So you can move only at the size where the two neighbors are the same, okay? So if you were here, you come up. If you were here, you stay, okay? This at rate 1. So this rate 1 should be, means that, in fact, you will move only when you are down. When you are up, you don't move. Okay, so you can think that you have a Poisson process indexed by an arrow up, and that when this Poisson process, time Poisson process, and when this Poisson process rings, then you put, it's associated to site K here. Okay, it's associated to this site K, and when the Poisson process associated with K rings, then this goes up. Okay. And the same thing you do for going down. You have another Poisson process, then at the same rate you take it down. But you cannot take it down always, because sometimes if you may have zero here, and then in this case you don't allow the chain to go down. Okay, so it is an exercise. Well, no, let me give the boundary conditions. So you have two boundary conditions. One is what happens here, and here you have to cook your chain in such a way that the probabilities P and Q are respected, and also here you have an initial measure nu. So if you think for a minute, you see that if you have x at time, if you have x here at time x, then you have to put with rate P you go up, and with rate Q you go down independently of what you had before. Okay, and also to the left it's a bit more complicated. You have to take the ratio between Q, P, so the measures are such that they get the same distribution. So I will call these new boundary conditions. These are written there. And remember that you have a Poisson process for going up, another Poisson process for going down for each of these sites. And then you may have correcting marks in order to get the right rates. In the middle you don't need, because it's rate 1, but in the other you may have a rate that is smaller than 1. Okay, but the point is that with this for this chain, the measure mu q is reversible Gibbs sampler. I call this, it's a usual Gibbs sampler, but this is a special realization in order to guarantee the coupling. So it's reversible for this Gibbs sampler with new boundary conditions, as of course is. If you put delta 1, so you keep it here at 1, don't let it move, then you will have a Gibbs sampler with a measure with delta 1 boundary conditions. Okay, now, given this construction, what you can do is just take two marginals, so the evolution here will be the same in the middle, but here you will have two different boundary conditions. In one case, you will have nu, and the other case you will have 1, but you use the same Poisson clocks to go up and down, and the same correcting uniform random variables to correct the rate. So so if you do that, since each one of the marginals are using the Poisson process as before, so the chain will be Gibbs sampler for delta 1 in one case, and Gibbs sampler for new boundary conditions in the other case. So this is what I'm written there. And important thing is that the coupling is monotone. So it's impossible to, if you have a configuration that comes over the other, for instance, like that, it's impossible to cross. Okay, this is a one per is clock, ring per ring proof. You do a ring and you see that nothing can happen. Nothing, they cannot really cross. Okay, so so this is the last line in this slide. Says that the coupling is monotone. That it says is the same that if you start with eta zero is the initial configuration of this motion is smaller than eta prime zero, then at future times you will have the same domination. This almost surely. Okay. In particular, almost surely domination means that you have a coupling, so that means that the evolution at each time for the now I have a different time here, no? I have a time for the evolution of the trajectories. The previous time is now a space for me. Okay, so I can think that this trajectory is a surface in a space nm. Yeah, and I have a time that is the one that makes my trajectory move. Okay, so sorry, this one. Okay, so. Well, this new time I called it L there in the slide. Okay, you can do it at discrete or continuous time, doesn't matter. If you do a discrete time, you just choose one side and go, and if you do at continuous time, then you just have this Poisson processes. This L is suspicious again. Okay. Well, now, how you prove Hodler inequality, you start with a minimal state that in this case is 1, 2, 1, 1, 2, 1, so you start with a state that is below here. And then let the two chains evolve, starting from that state. Okay, so I have a monotonicity for the two chains, so one chain will be dominated at all times by the other chain. Okay, I start with the two marginals with this same orange configuration, that is the minimal one. So that means that if I call nu tilde L the log of the coupling at time L, then I have this domination for all times. On the other hand, since I have this domination, if you go one step, you go to some configuration, this configuration will dominate the minimal configuration. So the coupling is also monotone in L time. Okay? Because you let evolve one step and then couple both of them, so the coupling is monotone and you will have that the distributions then are increasing. And since there is an invariant measure, each one of the marginals will increase to its invariant measure. And since both coordinates are increasing, also the vector is increasing. So this thing is bounded because the two marginals are tight. So this will converge to something that necessarily must be an invariant measure for the coupling process. Okay, and this invariant measure concentrates on eta less or equal than eta prime. So that means that the marginals are one is dominated by the other. Okay, so this is nothing new here, but it's a simple way to prove Halley inequality. Okay. Okay, now I want to show theorem 1. Remember that theorem 1 says that I want to prove that that here I have domination. So the first thing is so let's take here I have 0. And here I have 2n, minus 2n, and here I have minus 2n, minus 2. So instead of looking from 0 to 2n, I will look from minus 2n to 0 and from minus 2n, minus 2 to 0. So if you start here, you start with delta 1 here, so you will get something. And from here, you necessarily must... sorry, you start here. You can start from one or from three, okay? You have two possibilities. But in the two cases, you can do a coupling between this, that you fix the boundary condition here, and the other one, you fix the boundary condition here, and this thing will dominate here, so here you have also, you will have also domination. That means that the first item I there, okay? Okay, the second item says that delta 1 t to n is dominated by the by any quasi stationary distribution. Okay, but this is so you start so we prove that starting from this with boundary condition delta 1 you are dominated by anything by any measure nu prime, in fact, and then on the other hand we know that the marginal, the right marginals are the same. The right marginals are this delta 1 tn, because the distance between 0 and n is n. But since the measure is quasi-stationary, then the nu prime tn is equal to nu prime, so that means that delta 1 tn or t to n is dominated by any quasi-stationary distribution. Okay. Okay, now you have you take delta n as delta 1 tn, and nu prime is quasi stationary distribution. You have this increasing sequence of measures dominated by a quasi stationary distribution, since so that means that this is tight, so there will exist a limit. And the limit from the original. From the original definition of quasi-stationary distribution, you can easily derive this equation, that this equation evolution, that you see that nu n plus 1 I is a function of nu 1 I of x, but also a function of nu n plus 1 y. There is, it appears in the two terms. But if you converge, so nu n converges to nu y, and then there, so. And this this equation, the last equation here, is the same equation as the one I put for the definition of the QSD. So the limit must be a QSD, is dominated by any QSD, so it's minimal. Okay. Okay. So the general setup. I assume that Q. So the general setup is better to consider that you have a reducible aperiodic Markov chain in some countable set S, absorbed at zero, and at least one QSD for Q, and also a minimal state that is assumed there in the first line. Okay, now you need some conditions for the evolution, for these evolutions. In fact, now the evolution can go to anywhere, so you have to write down. But you always fix the points at time k minus 1 and time k, and then you have some distribution for this, for the middle thing, for the Markov chain. And this evolution is, if you have x and z here, you have so your chain comes here, and then this is time k, and this is k minus 1, this is k plus 1. And then you have some distribution here, that is the probability to come here, time here, minus, divided by the probability to be absorbed, no? And that appears, this is a q square. You don't want to pass through zero to the absorbing state. So this is the first line. This is for the for the bulk, for here, and then you have something for the right condition, that is this Qx star text point. So this less that means that I am considering this as measures on n. Okay, and one, the conditioned measure of the jam must be dominated by the other conditioned measure. And the equation 8 is just the right boundary condition, and I don't put a left boundary condition because it's always satisfied, in fact. Okay, but maybe one can generalize a bit in this sense. Okay, then I get the same result. So the sequence is monotone. The conditional distribution at the time n is dominated by any quasi-stationary distribution, and the limit converges to a quasi-stationary distribution. Okay, so this is exactly the same thing as for the PQ case. The theorem is the same, but without this disturbance of the periodicity problems. Okay. Okay. So the whole inequality in this case is given by that. So this is the conditional. These are the three conditions: the conditional distribution in the bulk and in the left. The first condition is the conditional distribution in the left. The second is in the bulk, and the third is in the left. So if you have these three conditions that are the equivalent to the ones I gave for the PQ case, then you have the domination, and you have the domination of the measures. Okay. And then you apply directly to that. Okay, let me give you a couple of somehow surprising examples, this one. So this is just the simplest perturbation you can do to a PQ random walk is just to put a delay. Okay? So you have with probability Q you go down, with probability P you go up, and with probability R, that is the delay, you stay at the same point. Okay? And so I take P bigger than P is smaller than Q, so this, you have still a drift down. And then in this case, the advantage is this irreducible periodic random walk. The Q, S, D are the same, but the theorem is only true if P times Q is less than R squared. It's obvious.
Because otherwise,
otherwise?
Otherwise, the parity condition.
The parity? No, it's not for the parity condition. You think it's about that? I don't know. I found it as when you try to prove Cauley inequality, it's not true for this case.
Right, but it is true if you do. I mean, if you take R equals 0, you're back in your original.
Yeah, R equals 0 is okay, but R.
No, R equals 0 is only okay once you take care of this periodicity.
Ah, yes.
So here it's also okay if you take care of the near period. So.
Ah, really? Ah, okay. So you are teaching me something. Okay. I will look at that.
This is the log concavity condition.
Okay. Okay, so for this chain, the conclusions hold. And, okay. Well, then you explain me better. Okay, now you can do it for the continuous time random walk. You take a family of walks indexed by R, that is the delay. So R will be large, and so I normalize or I rescale the key P and Q things with 1 minus R. Okay, so I will have a big delay, and then I take this scaling process y rt, that I take x at time r divided at time t over 1 minus r, and then as r goes to 0 to 1, this converges to a continuous time random walk with rates p and q. Okay, so this is standard, and And I have the conditioned the late evolution as before. So this is, but now I have all this rescaling. But this, in the limit, I have the conditioned evolution converges to the same thing as before, but now with the semigroup associated to Q1. Okay, so under this condition, since you have the domination for the discrete time random walk at finite macroscopic time for all times, then in the limit you will have also the continuous domination. Okay, but you see that I proved the Holle inequality in the discrete, and then I did the limit to show that the dominations are satisfied for the continuous time random walk. I'm not sure I would know how to prove Holle inequality directly for the continuous. You should invent some dynamics that is reversible for the if you have the continuous, it's a mess. You try to do it in the continuous, it's a mess to try to show Holle inequality. It's not even clear, but probably you can find something. So, you can do it first in the finite case, and then you have the dominations, and then you go to the. I am taking just you wait at rate p you go up and at rate q you go down.
It's
given
1 q.
It's yeah.
Okay. So if I examine it, it's very interesting. You discretize, you get these tiny approximations.
Yeah, this is what I am doing, yes, of course. But in any case, it's interesting to see, can you prove Holle inequality directly for the continuous walk? This is the question. Okay, so you have to find an attractive dynamics that does. Okay. For Brownian motion, I don't have results, I only have a slide, but not results. So you can have the random walk with no delays and probabilities P and Q that are scaled with epsilon, so that the limit goes to Brownian motion plus drift. This is a negative drift, so I put plus a T, but it's negative. Using the same thing as for the discrete, you can prove also Holle inequality for the limit. But now you have two possibilities. We didn't work really on that, no? But one is you have the inequalities. Now you have to show that the conditional probability trajectories of the discrete walk converge to the conditional trajectories of Brownian motion, what is not totally obvious, but maybe known. And the other thing is, and this I find more interesting, is to define the dynamics on the trajectories of Brownian motion that play the role of my dynamics for the random walk. No. Yeah, but then you have to see if you have the dominations. Maybe. Conditioned, no? You have your condition. Okay. Okay, so we have some two-dimensional examples. And here is other example, other questions. Can you relax the condition of one minimal state? And then another things. If you have your process is attractive, also this conditional dynamics will be attracted. And and also to try to marry these two definitions of order. One is the minimal absorption time, and another is the domination of the measures that. It's not in one dimensional case when you don't cross it's obvious, but maybe in other cases it's not that obvious. Okay, now let me give you an open problem that was one that motivated this thing, trying to prove that. It's really very simple. You have two Qs. you have a Q1 and Q2. You enter at rate rho here, and then you serve at rate 1, and then you serve at rate 1. Okay? This is will be XT, and this will be YT. Okay? So the number of customers in Q1, so everybody understands that? It's the usual two Qs in series. Okay? So you increase this coordinate at rate 1, decrease this coordinate at rate 1, and increase this at rate 1 at the same, no, together, and this, if you have a customer, it goes up. Okay? The service is exponential. Customers are served, jump from one queue to the other. And now I will get the process absorbed when this queue is empty. Okay? But the other queue can do. So the quasi-stationary distribution, after you think a little bit, is pretty obvious that it's a product of a stationary distribution for the reflected random walk in the first line times any quasi-stationary distribution in the second line. Maybe there are others, but these are quasi-stationary. Why they are quasi-stationary? Because of Borg theorem. Because if you have a quasi-stationary distribution here from this distribution, you feel like entering a random walk of entering customers at rate rho. Okay? And then whatever is here, you don't know what happens here because of Borger theorem. So, because this will depend only on the initial distribution and on the number of things that got out, but the number of things that got out is independent of the number of clients here. So, this, for this reason, is a product measure. Okay? So, this is no problem. This is written there. It's a constant times rho x is the probability, is the geometric here. And rho y over 2 is the geometric here. Maybe it's a problem of rho and 1 minus rho, I don't know. But it's geometric anyway. Okay, now I want to start from this situation. I want to start from x0 equal to 0, and x1, and x equal to x0 equal to 0, and y0 equal to 1. Okay, and show that this converges to the minimal one. So to the product of to that one I wrote there, the minimal one.
So you let Q1 empty freely, but you want Q2.
Yeah, exactly.
To avoid emptying ever.
Yeah.
And you let time go to infinity, and you ask what is the.
I want to get the Jagland limit for that Q.
I mean, another option would be to define absorption
is
only when both
cubes
are.
Yeah, but we are not interested in that thing. Maybe it's easier that way. Both. Maybe it's easier that way, but I don't know. Well, now I have 5 minutes or so, maybe two. I have a lot, but I will finish before. Yeah. Okay. Now to finish, I want to discuss the relation between the simple exclusion process and this thing, because it's a symmetric simple exclusion process. Okay, so the simple exclusion process is something that's like that. You have particles and holes. And then at some rate, 1 or 1/2, you interchange the contents of two things. But then you can have here, and this is at the particle level. But then you can say that there is each time that there is a particle, you have a down thing. So here I have like that. So this. Okay. So the simple exclusion process is doing like that, and this is equivalent to do. Is equivalent to the moves I was doing for the trajectories. Okay. Well, now. Okay. Now your picture is deformed. So I will have. In fact, we will have. So here is zero. I have here at minus n. I have an initial measure nu. And if this, so, or even a thing, and then I will have, here I have the, I have a trajectory. The only place where there is a difference is here that I have P and Q for going up and down for the last point here, okay? And then I have here an exclusion, it's a wall, exclusion with the wall. Okay? So you can think that you have a simple exclusion process. Here you have a force that takes you down. On the other hand, you have another force that don't let you pass. But otherwise, it's a freely simple exclusion process. When you are far away, you move like in the, like here, like this, simply. When you are close here, then you move. So, this is more a conjecture that for any quasi-stationary distribution, you will have a typical trajectory of the simple exclusion with an inclination that here in the middle, in the bulk, you will have a new rho invariant measure. And this rho here will be related with some QSD nu of rho QSD. So in some sense, the invariant measure for the simple exclusion process will be related with the quasi-stationary distribution for the PQ random walk. This is under construction. No, the PQ, the exclusion process, here only. Here only. The PQ is a force that takes this extreme down. Okay? On the other hand, you have the reflection here. And here you have the initial distribution. So this measure should be the same as this one. But since this dynamics looks for entropy, it goes up. But it will go up depending on the decay of the quasi-stationary distribution at infinity. Okay, so for each decay, you will have an inclination, and this inclination will have some final distribution here, a local distribution here that is the same as the one you have to the left. Well, I think I'm done now. Thank you.
Okay, let me invite further questions or comments.
So for the Yuval version of avoiding the two boundaries, there is a technique based on the method of images, and you introduce a class of Bessel functions.
You don't have to do it.
Bessel functions, and what those be the invariant, the Jagdlom distribution.
But the invariant measure is different.
No, it's just for any dimension, and for two dimensions, I think with these tools one can perhaps answer your question with this lattice Bessel functions.
Well, that would be nice.
It's a guess.
No, because
for the Yuval version.
For the Yuval. And for this version, no.
Well,
no, that the.
Yuval said avoid overriding the two boundaries, right? So you get this thing in an octant that avoids two boundaries.
I'll say something else.
Sorry?
Yeah. I was talking about the Brownian.
There are versions which were worked on the Brownian also, by, I think, Mark Yao and Nido Panel.
Okay. Now, another comment. So for the PQ and some other cases, but not, you had a general statement where you assumed some domination conditions.
Yeah.
But and for there, you really have to work with stochastic domination. But if you're working, say, with the PQ, there is a very simple proof just using a MLR, monotone likelihood ratio. So if you look, so you have not just domination of delta, so you compare delta 1 t to the 2n to delta 1 t to the 2n plus 2.
You have that domination.
You have monotone likelihood ratio, and that you can just check by induction. While stochastic domination, you cannot check by induction. Because of the conditioning.
Yeah. In the PQ case,
because you look at ratios,
yeah,
then you can just check MLR by induction, and then stochastic domination follows for the PQ case.
Okay.
And a few other cases, but not the general
ones. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so again, one comment from me is that there's some literature on kind of meta stability for population type models, the idea being that somehow any time you could get the zero in a population, it's extinct, but you have a models that take a long time, that are, you know, roughly normal or Poisson around mean 100, but take an exponentially long time to get absorbed. So I wonder if you just thought of seeing to what extent your quantization techniques apply to that type of example.
No, we didn't look at that, but
yeah. Another place where...
Okay.
All right, if there are other further questions, we'll thank Pablo again. And